Okay. Very good morning to all Kayali Meters. Today is a very auspicious day. So I really rejoice. Before we start the official ceremony and puja, I like to thank everybody, all Kayali Meters, for your strong faith, sadha, virya, then your diligence and sincerity to walk this way. My nature really rejoices when I see the faith. Then I can see a lot of Kayali Meters are very serious. So that is indeed the greatest gift and the greatest joy to my nature. So today, like I say, is a very auspicious day because it marks the occasion for three very important things. First of all, today is Kuan Yin's birthday. Then it happened to coincide with my birthday, and I was told by Padmasuri, this is the 60-year cycle, major Kuan Yin's birthday. Means every 5 years, times 12, you get 60. So this is a major cycle, and it's a very auspicious. Hey, girl, come, my classmate. Then the other thing is, we launched this book. This book, The Essential Dhamma of Lord Buddha, is a very important book. And it come about not by chance, it's meant to be. And this book has to come out. Well, this book has a lot of important essential dhamma that can help you to progress very fast when you cultivate the Buddha Dhamma. If you have faith, if you have the understanding. So today is the official launching day. That's why I put it as 31st October 2015. When I put this date, I didn't even know that it coincided with Kuan Yin's birthday. And it's supposed to mark my birthday. Then everything just falls into place. So this one will teach you a lot of very important essential dhamma. And because of that, when Padmasuri spoke to me many months back, I told her, I said, sadhu, I said, well, she said, Virtue, can I have your permission to organize this? I said, yeah, it's very wholesome. Then we're supposed to have it at 8 o'clock in the morning. Then some Kayali Meters said, too early because we need to prepare many things. And I know many of you woke up very early this morning. I received the first greeting at 5:07. So you must be thinking I also didn't sleep. I slept, but I fully aware. That's why when the music from the phone, the bird sound, straight away I knew one message came in. Then later on there were many messages. Then Sui An also, the later few, 6-something already out. So all these are sincere cultivator. They woke up early to do their religious routine and puja. So that's why that nature has a lot of joy. Then the greatest gift was this morning when my daughter, she gave me a present yesterday, a very latest up-to-date. You can call it a laptop or what, but it's the latest one combined with what pad. Don't know what pad you call. And then she showed it to me. It was so beautiful. But it's not that thing. It's the small message that he sent to me. Afterwards, you can have a look. He said, happy birthday. Then he said, got message inside. Oh, I said, I yesterday haven't seen it. I said, so I will open it up today. Then when I opened it up, the message was so beautiful. So I sent it to the My Kayali Meters website. If you want, you can open it up and have a look. Maybe for the benefit of those who don't have Wi-Fi, my house got Wi-Fi. You can log into Unify at Tay Gok Hong, my wife's name. Then the password, if you want, I can give it to you. Okay, I read it to those who don't have. Oh, you mean the photo didn't went through? Huh? The photo didn't go through? Oh, no wonder. Yeah, yeah, I have to take another shot. You give me a minute. Ah, yes. How come not inside my this one anymore? Somehow, oh, yeah, it's here, yes. Yeah, you will see inside there, yeah? A very small message. The two very dark color. It said, "Dearest Daddy, life is beautiful because you show me how to live. Love you a lot, my daughter, Sui." So she's here with you all today. There she is. So people who can appreciate life, they will understand the importance of the Buddha Dhamma and the Sangha. Because the Buddha Dhamma is a very, very unique message to the world. And this is the message that can bring about world peace. Even the president of China, Xi Jinping, he know the future of the world is it lies in the hand of people who have love, compassion, and wisdom together with mindfulness. Zhenlian. It's not about economic power. It's not about financial muscle. It's more about love and wisdom, spirituality. So with that, maybe we can commence our puja. How come everything also no more? Oh, another table. Sadhu. So before we start, I'd like to thank all the organizers and helpers and all Kayamita who has made this particular auspicious day puja offering a very significant event so that we can all rejoice together, because we are here mainly to celebrate the auspicious birthday of Kuan Yin Bodhisattva, the 60-year cycle. Then together, tie in with my birthday, and we can have a real gathering of Kayanamitas so that many wholesomeness can arise. Then the other thing also, it marked the triple occasion, the launching of our official book, The Essential Dhamma of Lord Buddha. And this book came about also because of Sister Nancy, Brother Sia, because they offered the condition by hosting the house dhana. Then Sister Nancy also volunteered to do the transcript, the original unedited form. Then later on, together with all the Kayanamitas who helped out in the finalization of the transcript and getting it printed, then all Kayanamita funds, all Kayanamita gets to rejoice because Kayanamita funds sponsored this printing. So it's very, very wholesome. Shall we rejoice? Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, so today the lighting of the candle, I will give the honor to those who have helped the most. Also to my daughter. She came back only once a while. So Sui, you can come. Then Pamasuri, Brother Teo, Sui An, Stephanie, come. Five of you. I got five candles and one incense. Oh, six candles. I can choose one more. Who is the lucky one? Oh, never mind. Never mind. Today is different. Today is not from our station alone. Our station, Brother Ko from Thailand also sent the message. Today is for those who did the work. Maybe you get me from. Come. 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 All here. Come. Stephanie, where are you? Stephanie, where is Stephanie? She says, treasurer for many years. Then we shouldn't forget Yun Chan. She is the most important one. Okay, bring. Well, the other author also need two. So Yun Chan, come. Come. Never mind, come. No, enough. We got eight. Come. Christina, come. Okay, you all should stand here, the one who like. Never mind. Stand over here easier. Can step on the cushion, don't worry. Get another one, faster. Pamasuri, you like the inner one, the big one. Okay, then the other one, the small one. You pass the candle out, okay, can reach, good. Mi Fong, na pen hai you lighter ma? Xia men, na lai tiền á. Yun Chan like the big fellow. Yun Chan. You are the mayor. Hey, no, you are the big fellow. Can reach or not? Sadhu. She was the main person who originally invited me to come out to share 11 years ago. She requested 3 times. And she's the longest. Kayanamita. But you invited me that time, Stephanie didn't know. Stephanie only came to know me later when Yun Chan introduced her, because good friend. I remember the first time she wanted to introduce Stephanie, she organized a dinner after the talk. Then we went to this Kota Damansara for, I think, Yong Tau Fu, if I'm not wrong. I remember. Yeah. Okay, yeah. So this one we can just rejoice and offer over there. Come. Sadhu. Because today is Guan Yin birthday, I got another author on the Sifang Amitofo together with Da Si Zi Pusa and Guan Yin Pusa. So that side is Sifang Sansen. So today we also honor Guan Yin's birthday, so we like it up there. Then that flower, how? That flower, put it over there. Okay, put over there. No, there's another flower above the small TV. Put in the center there. Put in the center or at the side. This one also can bring over. Because here we have enough. No. Hetiong hepeng. Never mind. Put it over there. Because you have to do it properly. Sadhu. Then the other flower, put the other side, left hand side. Okay. So we all rejoice with the other author. So now sadhu. Okay, we will commence our official puja offering. You all stand up. Then today, because more people, you have to face each other. Okay, somebody come in front. Song, you start. That big tree. Never mind, can step on it. Don't worry. We start with the tree. Sadhu. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, we offer the smaller item. Huh? Because big item, too many. Huh? We cannot finish. Here, I just offer the whole table. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Yeah. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. 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 Sadhu, no, no. Basman, sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Then this one. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, you offer the flower. The flower. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. 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 Then the mango. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. 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 Put back the tray. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, before we pass the offering, what we'll do is we offer the rest. We offer the rest of the table's offering first. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. 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 Okay, you can continue. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Yeah, after. We finish everything, then that one last one. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. 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 Sadhu, 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 center, sadhu, 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 sadhu. Sadhu, 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 sadhu. Okay, we'll offer the final water on the table. So together we rejoice. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, then you all can sit down. Okay. Just maintain some form of attention. Develop the sadhā, the faith, and learn to rejoice. Because, like I mentioned just now, today is a very auspicious day. It marks the event of three very important occasions. First is Kuan Yin's birthday, the 60-year cycle. In the Chinese calendar, the lunar calendar is Jiuye Chuqi, the month of September 19. Then it also happened that this year it coincides with my birthday. Then we have to also launch this book on this day, so the triple occasion, you should rejoice. Then for those who don't have this book, you can collect them on the way out. It's all on the tray here. If you want more, you let me know. There are still another 150 around. So with this, I will hand over to the MC. Who is the MC today? No MC, Then what is your program like? You have to let me know. Oh, okay, before I forgot. Who has taken the ang pao? Oh, ang pao is here. So this one is an offering from Clifford and Joyce. So I told them I rejoice. I will donate to Kaila Mita Fund. I don't know how much. Stephanie, come. We rejoice. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. So I receive it and I offer it back to Kaya Mita Fan. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. So that we can have more wholesomeness and more rejoicing. So I really very, very happy with all your faith, your very strong sadhu. Then with all this wholesomeness, it will pave the way for a lot of things to happen. And you all will definitely progress along the path of Dhamma. So today, like I said, we should learn to rejoice more and more, then develop the very strong faith. And that is the best gift you can to this nature of mind on this auspicious day. And also remember to thank Kuan Yin for her blessing, guidance, and protection. That is the most important. Protection is to protect our form and mind, because this form and mind, when we come, is very fragile. Any small thing, slight thing, can just bring about condition for the form and mind to separate, then you cannot use this vehicle to cultivate, to perfect your virtue. So you need Kuan Yin's protection and guidance is because of Kuan Yin's very special nature. She has great compassion. She has great loving kindness. And she has great wisdom. And all those who cultivate affinity with Kuan Yin Bodhisattva, she will be able, her nature will be able to actually help you a lot and bring about a lot of wholesomeness and blessing. And she has given blessing just now. So you all should rejoice. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, so now maybe later, yeah, later. We finish that time, we will do the closing puja and do all the sharing of merits. Now I think we need to sing or recite the chanting, or the heart sutta and all those things. So I will pass the mic back to Padmasuri so that maybe you all can prepare yourself. You have the chanting sheet or not? If not, there are still some more there. I need one copy. Take from there. Oh, okay. So which one do we start? Which one do we start? Which one do we start? Xing Jing or Compassionate? Okay. We will have our opening puja first. We chant the salutation to Lord Buddha, Kuan Yin Bodhisattva, to all the great beings. Then after that, we start the chanting. Okay, compose your mind, develop the faith, the sadha, the virya, then pay respect mindfully, then we will start the puja. Namo Bunshi Shi Jia Moni Fo. Namo Bunshi Shi Jia Moni Fo. Namo Bunshi Shi Jia Moni Fo. Namo Kuan Shi Yin Pu Sa. Namo Kuan Shi Yin Pu Sa. Namo Kuan Shi Yin Pu Sa. Namo Pu Xian Pu Sa. Namo Pu Xian Pu Sa. Namo Pu Xian Pu Sa. Namo Mi Lo Fo. Namo Mi Lo Fo. Namo Mi Lo Fo. Namo Fo Pu Sa. Namo Fo Pu Sa. Okay, Fo Pu Sa. We will chant now the Thai tradition. Arahang Samma Sambuddho Bhagava. Buddhang Bhagavantang Abhivademi. Swakato Bhagavata Dhammo Dhammang Namasami. Supatipanno Bhagavato Savakasangho Sanghang Namami. Okay, you all can be seated, then we get ready for the chanting. She purposely drove here and bring the Chi Kyok Cho. Don't worry. Sadhu. Yeah. Oh, your mother is here. Sadhu. Yeah. It's meant to be, because Joyce forgot to go and collect the thing. So she has to drive and bring it here because she is busy with her, I think, daughter's marriage. So she make effort to actually come and cook this particular dish for you all. So we should rejoice with all their sincerity and their faith. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, now we can start the official chanting of the Heart Sutta and the Tapecho. You want to start a Tapecho first or not? Ah, Ta Pei Chow first. Oh, we have to administer the five precepts. Oh. Better lah. Maybe we were chanting books, puja. Huh? Okay. Turn to page 4. Huh? We better administer the precept first. Turn to page 4. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Buddhaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi, Dhammaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi, Sanghaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi, Dutiyampi Buddhaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi, Dutiyampi Dhammaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi, Dutiyampi Sanghaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi, Tatiyampi Buddhaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi, Tatiyampi Dhammaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi, Tatiyampi Sanghaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi, Pānātipātā Amhani sikkhapadang samadhiyami Adina dana veramhani sikkhapadang samadhiyami Amesu michachara sikkhapadang samadhiyami Musavada Ramani sikha padang samadhiyami Surame raya majapama dathana Veramani sikha padang samadhiyami. Then I will chant to you all the significance of precepts so that you can understand. Imani pancha sikha padani Silena sugantin yanti, silena boga sampadan, silena nibutin yanti, tasma silang visode. The meaning is, these are the five precepts. The precepts, which is virtue, is the source of true happiness. The precept, which is virtue, is the source of true spiritual wealth. And the precept, which is virtue, is the source of true peacefulness. Therefore, let virtue be purified. Okay, then we will continue. You all can rejoice. Eh? Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Then we will chant the puja offering, eh? Padipa puja. Ganna sarpaditena Dipena tamadang sina tiloka dipang sambuddhang pujayami tamonudang ganda sambar yutena dopena hang sugang hina pujaye pujaniyang tang Puja bhajana muttamang Vanda ganda gunopetang Etang kusuma santatin Pujayami munindasa Siripada sarorohe Pujemi buddhang kusumena nena Punnena matena chahotu mokhang Pupang milayati yata idang me Kayo tatayati vinasabhavang adivasetu no bante paniyang parikapitang anukampang upadaya patigang hatu mutamang. Okay, we will do the puja expression. Turn to page 18. Understanding the significance of offering of light, we shall make the following aspiration. May this offering of light to the Buddha bring forth the causes and conditions to illuminate our mind and help arise the needed clarity and understanding to dispel all darkness of ignorance therein. Significance of offering of water. May this offering of pure, clear, cool water lead us to the pure, clear Dhamma that cools and doses off the fire of all defilements within our mind. Significance of offering of incense. May our morality, virtue, and understanding shine forth far and wide, just like the fragrance of this incense, which we are offering to the Blessed One, who is perfect in wisdom and virtue. Significance of offering of fruits. May this offering of fruits remind us of the Dana Parami of generosity and the fruits of our karma, so that we will diligently strive on with heedfulness to attain the path and fruition soon as possible. Significance of offering of flower. May this constant offering of flowers to the Blessed One strengthen our faith and constantly remind us of the impermanence of this body, so that we will diligently and sincerely strive on with cultivate sila, samadhi, and panya, leading to ultimate liberation, the born free nibbana. Making of general overall aspiration. By the power of all these merits born of this offering, may our spiritual faculties of sadha, virya, sati, samadhi, and panya be further strengthened until they become balanced. Sharing and transfer of merits. May these merits be shared and transferred to all beings without exception, especially to those who have the condition and affinity to receive them. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, we will pay respect to Triple Gemma. Butang Pajemi. Dhammang pujemi, Sanghang pujemi. Okay, you can be seated, then you all can get ready to do the chanting, huh?
Namo Ali Poluya. 揭谛是婆来耶，菩提萨埵婆耶，摩诃萨埵婆耶，摩诃迦卢尼迦耶，安萨班喇伐耶，苏丹那丹谢，南摩悉吉利多依蒙阿利耶，婆卢揭谛是佛来楞多婆，南摩那赖谨墀，悉利摩诃般多萨埵，萨婆诃他哆输婆，阿斯云萨婆萨埵，南无婆萨埵，南无婆伽摩伐特哆，耽姿他唵阿婆卢悉，卢迦帝迦罗帝，依悉利摩诃菩提萨埵，萨婆萨婆摩来摩来，摩悉摩悉利多喻，俱卢俱卢揭摩，嘟噜嘟噜发瑟耶帝，摩诃发瑟耶帝，哆来哆来帝利尼，悉佛来耶遮来遮来，摩摩发摩来，目的利依悉依悉，舍奈舍奈，阿来僧佛来舍利，发沙发僧佛来舍耶，呼噜呼噜摩来，呼噜呼噜悉利，娑来娑来悉利悉利，苏噜苏噜菩提耶菩提耶，菩陀耶菩陀耶，弥地利耶那来谨墀，地利舍利那，婆耶摩那萨婆诃，悉哆耶萨婆诃，摩诃悉哆耶萨婆诃，悉哆依于斯班那耶萨婆诃，谨墀萨婆诃，摩来那来萨婆诃，悉来僧阿穆迦耶萨婆诃，萨婆摩诃阿悉哆耶萨婆诃，遮吉来阿悉哆耶萨婆诃，摩多摩揭悉哆耶萨婆诃，那来谨墀班揭来耶萨婆诃，摩婆利僧揭来耶萨婆诃，南摩诃来耽乃哆来耶耶，南摩阿利耶，婆卢揭谛是盘来耶萨婆诃，安悉殿多曼多来班多耶萨婆诃，南摩诃来耽乃哆来耶耶，南摩阿利耶，婆卢揭谛是婆来耶，菩提萨埵婆耶，摩诃萨埵婆耶，摩诃迦卢尼迦耶，安萨盘那伐耶，苏丹乃丹谢，南摩悉吉利多依蒙阿利耶，婆卢揭谛是佛来楞多婆，南摩那赖谨墀，悉利摩诃般多萨埵，萨婆诃他哆输婆，阿斯云萨婆萨埵，南摩婆萨埵，南摩婆伽摩伐特哆，耽姿他唵阿婆卢悉，卢迦帝迦罗帝，依悉利摩诃菩提萨埵，萨婆萨婆摩来摩来，摩悉摩悉利多喻，俱卢俱卢揭摩，嘟噜嘟噜发瑟耶帝， 摩诃跋涉耶帝多来多来帝利尼是佛来耶遮来遮来摩摩伐摩来帝利依悉依悉舍奈舍奈阿来僧佛来舍耶跋涉跋僧佛来舍耶呼噜呼噜摩来呼噜呼噜悉哩娑来娑来悉哩悉哩苏噜苏噜菩提耶菩提耶不陀耶不陀耶弥帝利耶那来谨此帝利舍利奈婆耶摩奈萨婆诃悉陀耶萨婆诃悉诃悉陀耶萨婆诃悉陀喻伊斯盘赖耶萨婆诃那来谨此萨婆诃摩来那来萨婆诃悉来僧阿穆迦耶萨婆诃萨婆摩诃阿悉陀耶萨婆诃悉来阿悉陀耶萨婆诃波陀摩揭悉陀耶萨婆诃那来谨此般揭来耶萨婆诃摩婆利僧揭来耶萨婆诃南摩诃来耽耐多来耶耶南摩阿利耶婆卢揭帝释般来耶萨婆诃安悉殿多曼多来三多耶萨婆诃南摩诃来耽耐多来耶耶南摩阿利耶婆卢揭帝释般来耶菩提萨埵婆耶摩诃萨埵婆耶摩诃迦卢尼迦耶安萨盘拉伐伊苏丹那丹悉南摩悉吉利多依摩诃利耶婆卢揭帝释迦来仁多婆南摩那来谨此利摩诃般多萨弥萨婆诃他都输婆阿斯云萨婆萨埵南摩婆萨埵南摩摩揭摩伐特哆耽迟他唵阿婆卢悉卢迦帝迦罗帝依悉利摩诃菩提萨埵萨婆萨婆摩来摩来摩悉摩悉利多喻觉罗觉罗揭摩哆罗哆罗跋涉耶帝摩诃跋涉耶帝陀来陀来帝利尼是佛来耶遮来遮来摩摩伐摩来摩帝利依悉依悉舍来舍来阿来僧佛来舍利跋涉跋僧佛来舍耶呼噜呼噜摩来呼噜呼噜悉哩来娑来悉哩悉哩苏噜苏噜菩提耶菩提耶菩陀耶菩陀耶弥帝利耶那来谨此帝利舍利奈婆耶摩奈萨婆诃悉哆耶萨婆诃摩诃悉哆耶萨婆诃悉哆依喻室盘那耶萨婆诃那来谨此萨婆诃摩来那来萨婆诃悉来僧阿穆迦耶萨婆诃萨婆摩诃悉哆耶萨婆诃遮吉拉悉哆耶萨婆诃 波陀摩揭悉多耶萨婆诃南无金翅般揭那耶萨婆诃摩婆利僧揭那耶萨婆诃南无阿赖耽那多赖耶耶南无阿利耶婆卢羯帝释盘赖耶萨婆诃安息颠多曼多赖盘多耶萨婆揭谛揭谛婆罗揭谛婆罗僧揭谛菩提萨婆诃揭谛揭谛婆罗揭谛婆罗僧揭谛菩提萨婆诃揭谛揭谛婆罗揭谛婆罗僧揭谛菩提萨婆诃观自在菩萨心生般若波罗蜜多时照见五蕴皆空，度一切苦厄，舍利子，舍不异空，空不异舍，色即是空，空即是色。受想行识亦复如是，舍利子，是诸法空相，不生不灭，不垢不净，不增不减。是故空中无色，无受想行识。无眼耳鼻舌身意，无色声香味触法，无眼界乃至无意识界，无无明亦无无明尽，乃至无老实亦无老实尽。无苦集灭道，无智亦无得亦无所得故，菩提萨埵依般若波罗蜜多故，心无挂碍，无挂碍故。远离颠倒梦想，究竟涅槃三世诸佛依般若波罗蜜多故得阿耨多罗三藐三菩提，故知般若波罗蜜多是大神咒，是大明咒，是无上咒，是无等当咒，能除一切苦，真实不虚。故说般若波罗蜜多咒，即说咒曰：揭谛揭谛波罗揭谛波罗僧，揭谛菩提萨婆诃。揭谛揭谛婆罗揭谛婆罗僧揭谛菩提萨婆诃揭谛揭谛婆罗揭谛婆罗僧揭谛菩提萨婆诃 观自在菩萨，心生般若波罗蜜多时，照见五蕴皆空，度一切苦厄。舍利子，舍不异空，空不异舍，舍即是空，空即是舍。受想行识亦复如是。舍利子，是诸法空相，不生不灭，不垢不净，不增不减。是故空中无色无受想行识，无眼耳鼻舌身意，无色声香味触法，无眼界乃至无意识界，无无明亦无无明尽，乃至无老死亦无老死尽，无苦集灭道无智意，无得意无所得故，菩提萨埵依般若波罗蜜多故，心无挂碍，无挂碍故，无有恐怖，远离颠倒梦想，究竟灭盘三世诸佛依般若波罗蜜多故的阿耨多罗三藐三菩提故，知般若波罗蜜多是大神咒，是大明咒，是无上咒，是无等等咒，能除一切苦，真实不虚。故说般若波罗蜜多咒，即说咒曰：揭谛揭谛波罗揭谛波罗僧，揭谛菩提萨婆诃，揭谛揭谛波罗揭谛波罗僧，揭谛菩提萨婆诃，揭谛揭谛波罗揭谛波罗僧，揭谛菩提萨婆诃。观自在菩萨，心生般若波罗蜜多时，照见五蕴皆空，度一切苦厄。舍利子，舍不异空，空不异舍，舍即是空，空即是舍。受想行识亦复如是。舍利子，是诸法空相，不生不灭，不垢不净，不增不减。是故空中无色无受想行识，无眼耳鼻舌身意，无色声香味触法，无眼界乃至无意识界，无无明亦无无明尽，乃至无老死亦无老死尽，无苦集灭道无智意，无得 的以无说的故，菩提萨埵依般若波罗蜜多故，心无挂碍，无挂碍故。远离颠倒，梦想究竟，涅槃三世住。佛依般若波罗蜜多故，得阿耨多罗三藐三菩提故，知般若波罗蜜多是大神咒，是大明咒，是无上咒，是无等等咒，能除一切苦，真实不虚。故说般若波罗蜜多咒，即说咒曰：揭谛揭谛波罗揭谛波罗僧，揭谛菩提萨婆诃。揭谛揭谛波罗揭谛波罗僧，揭谛菩提萨婆诃。揭谛揭谛波罗揭谛波罗僧，揭谛菩提萨婆诃。
Okay, you all can pay respect to Kuan Yin Bodhisattva, and all the great beings. Thank you for all the good chanting. You all should at the same time, after paying respect, thank Kuan Yin Bodhisattva for all the blessing, protection and guidance all this while. Then you determine to again request her nature to continue to bless this nature of yours in future whenever it arises, for all the blessing, protection and guidance too. You can recite in your own heart. Then you pay respect. Thank you so much. So now, what is the next program? I also don't know. I was told they want to make some offering or don't know. Pass it to Padmasuri. Use the mic. They all plan all this. I didn't do anything. But you all partake because they use Kayanamita fund to buy all this offering. And those who brought on their own, you should try to let Stephanie or Suyan know how much and reimburse from Kayanamita Fund. If you want to donate back, it's up to you. But we want to make it an official Kayanamita Fund offering so that it can benefit all Kayanamitas.
Good morning, Brother Teo, brothers and sisters in the Dharma. I think this is a time for us to show our respect and to show our gratitude to Brother Teo. And shall I call upon Sister Joyce, accompanied by Brother Clifford, to represent all the Kayanamitas to offer Brother Teo a garland as a token of our respect, gratitude, and
appreciation,
appreciation yeah. and everything that he has sacrificed for us.
Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Come. So my nature to rejoice with all this wholesomeness. So you all should develop the faith, sadhā, virya. Yeah, okay, come.
Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu.
Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, I rejoice. Thank you so much.
And also not forgetting Mrs. Teo. We shall call upon Brother Song to represent us, to present a bouquet to Mrs. Teo
yeah.
as a token of appreciation for her sacrifice, looking after us from behind and everything. And taking care of Brother Teo.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. And I would like to take this opportunity to wish Brother Song a safe and smooth journey tomorrow. And he will
to
be
Thailand,
away
to Thailand.
To Thailand. He will be away from for us for 2 months.
2 months. Sadhu. And also not to forget my wife's support all this while. If not because of that, I don't think I can meet up with you all so often. Most wives are jealous. I remember the first batch, all a lot of ladies were no. Then most of them not married. Every now and then come on the weekend also stay overnight. So all this while she was so supportive. Otherwise we have been very jealous. I know of some teacher, even one of my teacher who was a lay person. At first the wife so jealous now, I say, you did all this in the name of what? We lost our family life, we lost our family time, you are never around with us, all those things. That was what the wife said. No? So that's why you can have a very supportive wife to help you to have the condition to do all these things. It's not by chance. It's because, like the song you all sang, 陪你到天涯, 因果早安排. So all these are the causes and conditions which has been planted long ago. That's why we have such beautiful condition. Then all this come about also because of your parami. Without your parami, you cannot have this condition. So you reap what you sow. When you have understanding, when you have virtue, when you have wholesomeness, when you have wisdom, you will know what to do. You will no longer be heedless. Then your life will change. And these are the causes and conditions that can come to fruition in future when you come and when you have to come. So all this is not by accident. Very likely in the previous, maybe distant past, you have had some of this calamitaship before, some of this condition to make offering, develop the cultivation. That's why you must appreciate all this wholesomeness, all this condition, then determine life after life to have this understanding when you have to come or you choose to come. So that your nature can continue to grow, to be a blessing to all, so that you can walk this path easily. And you can develop whatever perfection that you want to develop through this understanding. And all of the great beings, the great Buddhas and Bodhisattva, especially Kuan Yin's nature, they can help you a lot. So technically, you only need to be sincere, have faith and persevere. Nothing else. The rest, the other great beings vow will take you along. You only have to have these three things to connect to them. And make the appropriate request. Then expression of gratitude, thanks and respect. Then determine the faith. Then cultivate sincerely. And as long as you persevere, don't have to know. Don't try to allow the thought to come in. Ayo, I cultivate so long. No sign of progress. Then it will bring forward negativity of thought. Why do you want to do that? Tell the thought enough. As long as I am sincere, I have faith, I only persevere, then everything will follow. Then all wholesomeness will arise. So this is something for you all to take home on this auspicious day. Okay? Then anything else? Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Anything else? No more already. That's all. Oh, my sharing now. So your part is finished. Okay, good. We still got about maybe 1 hour. Today you all will have very good lunch, because they brought so much food, even vegetarian one also. So we should all rejoice with all the Kayamita's wholesomeness. And they bring along the best of offering, the best fruits, the best food, and whatever. Even birthday cake also. Stephanie has made homemade one. We should all rejoice. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. And they came yesterday, a group of them, about 10 of them. Nine or ten of them, to prepare all this flour, do all the cleaning, the arrangement, the vacuuming. So we should rejoice. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Then last night I took them for dinner while waiting for my daughter to arrive. Then everything like meant to be fall into place, because my daughter is supposed to arrive at 8 p.m. The bus was delayed. So we had our dinner, then we came back. Then after that, almost the right time to pick her up, because she just arrived about 1.5 hours later. Then after that, my son's flight from Singapore also delayed 1 hour. So no clash. So I told my son I'll be late. He said, no need, daddy, my flight also delayed 1 hour. So by the time my daughter came back, I have her meal. We set off to pick up my son. And when I arrived at the train station, KL Central, where the flight from KLIA2 arrived, within 1-2 minutes, she came out from the thing. So the timing all was perfect. Then yesterday, we had a late supper at almost 12 midnight. So I came back almost 12:45. Then I didn't sleep until 1 something. Then next morning, 5:00 something, coming in. So I knew, and there was a lot of joy. Then my wife said, yeah, today is your special, auspicious day, a lot of blessing. Then I saw all sent to my nature, forgot about Kuan Yin. That's why I sent when I said, please remember to pay respect to Kuan Yin and express your gratitude and thanks for her guidance, protection, and blessings. Then continue to have faith and request. So these are very wholesome. And it so happened this year, it meshed on the same day. And maybe it's meant to be, so that this particular puja can happen. Normal year, we only had the gathering of Kayamita, that's it, finish. But this year, because of this coincidence, then the book also supposed to come out. So for this sharing, maybe I will go through this book, certain parts which are very important, so that it can benefit you all in your cultivation. Okay, you open up your book. The preface you read yourself, how does the book come about? Then our expression of just pass it out. Then our acknowledgement of thanks also. We can rejoice together. You all read through yourself. then the essential Dhamma of Lord Buddha, this particular book, come about because it was based on a direct transcript from the recording of my talk at Brother Sia and Sister Nancy's house, Dana, dated 20th June 2015. So I will read to you the first section, the introduction. Just relax yourself and get yourself seated and maintain some form of sadha or confidence in the Buddha and his teaching. Virya, which is a spiritual zeal, and attentiveness. Attentiveness is silent awareness before the knowing, which is sati or mindfulness. So now you understand better what sati is. When you are attentive without thought, that is sati. Understand? So I move on further. I explain. The moment you are attentive without thought, you are already in sati. Understand not? So when you are attentively listening without thought, that is the true listening. That is the art of listening. So all this, when you understand, you will know how to meditate. You will know how to pay attention. You will know how to listen. Then I went on to explain. When you listen without verbalization, can you do that? Because in the past, you don't understand. You verbalize a lot. You are not listening. Then sometimes you are heedless, daydreaming, thinking, worrying. Then all of a sudden, you realize you are not attentive at all. That's why in the school, those who don't do well because they don't pay attention in class, that's why they don't have that mind, the clarity, the attentiveness. So this is what sati is all about. When you listen without verbalization, without mental chattering, without the reaction from your knowledge and memory, this is very important. Because human beings, they say, japa bo ming kya zo. Japa xiao ying. Every time want to comment, they think they know a lot. So this reaction from your knowledge and memory is very dangerous. So when you can do it, when you can listen without any reaction from your knowledge and memory, that is the silent mind listening, which means you are attentively listening. Just like Krishnamurti say, choiceless awareness of what is, just listen to the truth and the reality. You will listen with an open mind. Then whatever you listen, you can absorb very clearly. Then if it is something not in accordance, you will also understand. But you will not prejudge. That is very important. When you prejudge and preconceive a person or a situation, you are not listening anymore. Because you have a view. You have a concept of what that person is. Or what the situation is going to be like. So it closes your mind from listening. Then if it is something not in accordance, you will also understand, but you will not prejudge. So Dhamma is about learning how to silence your mind more and more and be more attentive. The moment you are attentive, you are already aware. You are already in sati. So today, before we start the Dhamma sharing, we would like to once again thank the host, Brother Sia, Sister Nancy and family for hosting this wonderful house, Dana, for us to have the condition to come together and partake in all this wholesomeness. And together we can also have this rather meaningful gathering of Kayanamita, come fellowship and sharing. Shall we all rejoice together? So you all that day rejoice. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. So today too, we should thank all those organizers for creating the condition for us to come together. For those who just came in, we are on page 2 of the book we launched today. You will be given a copy and you can read it later on. Now I just share the essential part. Page 2, section 2, Dhamma Sharing by Brother Teo. With that introduction on how to listen,
the art of listening, how to develop attentiveness and to have that heedful mind. We will now go into the sharing. First section is about precepts and virtue, because they were conditioned. House dana, normally you bring a lot of offering, you perform a lot of generosity, then you pay respect to the Triple Gem, then you rejoice, you listen to Dhamma, you straighten your view, you renew your precepts. Then there are a lot of other related wholesomeness. After the sharing, you transfer merit, share merits. Then a lot of Kayamita provides service and all those things. So all these are the 10 meritorious sections that you will perform if you attentively go through all this session. Now I'll read to you. I would like to thank all Kayamita who can make it to be here today to partake and rejoice in all this wholesomeness. At the same time, we can learn to develop more and more of these good mind states, which are very wholesome and virtuous. Virtue is very important. Virtues are your goodness, your kindness, your gentleness, and whatever good mind state, they constitute wholesomeness. A person who can keep his precept has virtue because he has no negativity. If you are a virtuous person, you have no negative thought. Excuse me. That is why you cannot violate the precept. You cannot kill. You cannot harm. You cannot deceive. You cannot cheat or commit sexual misconduct. And you cannot give rise to inappropriate speeches that can hurt and harm people. You will not consume intoxicants that will make your consciousness low. And because of that, the Buddha said, keeping your precepts or cultivating virtue is the source of true happiness, source of true spiritual wealth, and source of true spiritual peacefulness. So if you want all this, you have to keep your precept. That's the reason why the monk will chant this in Pali for you to understand after having administered the 5 precepts. They will chant as follows, just like what I chant just now. Imani pancha sika padani. The meaning is, these are the 5 precepts. Pancha is 5. Sika padani. So these are the 5 precepts. Then he said, Silena sugantin yanti, means precept or virtue is the source of true happiness. That's why sugantin, sukan is happiness, yanti. Then silena boga sambadan, virtue, which is precept, is also the source of true spiritual wealth. Spiritual wealth is not like materialistic wealth, where people cannot steal away, fire cannot burn away, blood cannot destroy it. These are spiritual wealth that will stay with you, will support you. Then when you connect to your true nature, your true mind, they will flow on to you. You will inherit them. And it's never lost, because it's not like materialistic wealth. These are true spiritual wealth. Then if you want to have peacefulness of mind, you should keep your precept. Because precept or virtue is the source of true peacefulness. Not only make you happy, make you peaceful. Because when you don't violate your precept, what happens? You don't kill, you don't harm, you don't commit sexual misconduct, you don't lie, you don't deceive, you don't partake intoxicant. Your life will be so much better, isn't it? Less problem, so much more orderly, isn't it? A person who kill, harm, steal, deceive, cheat on the spouse, tell lie and do all those funny things and partake intoxicant, what will happen to their life? It will lead to downfall. It will lead to a lot of suffering, which is human problem, the reality of life and existence. Yeah? So it will trigger off. Because when you kill and harm, you create enmity, people will come after you. Then the law of karma will take its effect. You reap what you sow. there will be causes and conditions for people to kill and harm you. And when you steal and deceive, in future you have to pay back in a very, very much more heavier way. It depends on who you cheat, who you deceive. So all this under nature's law. If you cheat on your spouse, in future when your spouse cheat on you, don't complain. Because that is the nature's law. When you lie and deceive and create all those negativity or speeches, in future you will meet people who will also do that to you, lie to you, abuse you, speak harshly to you, backbite against you, make joke of you through frivolous speech and other things. But this is what you have done to people in your past. So when you have this tendency to partake in toxicant, when you make mistake through that, you will meet up with people who also heedless and partake in toxicant, and in future got condition come after you. Understand? That's why you cannot blame people for what happened. Like the Buddha said, all living beings, we are all born of our karma. Here to our karma, conditioned and supported by our karma. And we are what we are because of our karma. So it is a very clear-cut nature's law that all living beings are subject to, not only human beings, even the non-humans, the devas, the pitas, the animals, even the demons or the hell realm, they are all subject to all this. That's why there is such thing as karmic retribution, karmic obstruction. So all this, you must develop understanding through understanding the Dhamma. These are the nature's law that governs life and existence. When you understand them, you will not violate them because it's never worthwhile. And these nature's law are so powerful. They are better than computer. They never make mistakes. Computer, when there's a glitch or what, it still make mistake or shut down. This one never make mistake. And it can record for eternity, eons and eons and eons. That's why this teaching is very, very unique, very beautiful, very different. When you understand, you become so different. You can be a source of blessing to humanity. And you can develop such great understanding that will transform you. Not only character-wise, personality-wise, wisdom-wise, understanding-wise, then your virtue keep on developing. That is why the Buddha Dharma is so important. It can set you free. It can liberate your mind. Without the Buddha Dharma, living being will suffer. Living being will have a lot of fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow, and lamentation. They will have to go through life, confront the realities of life and existence. And when they confront them without wisdom, they will be afflicted. Suffering will be the result. So when you understand all this, you ask yourself, how can I develop understanding to live a better life? How can I not like all the normal beings who are heedless with delusion? Who has to confront all this life's reality without wisdom, then because of that, get themselves entangled in life, become deluded, then they get into trouble, and suffering will arise. And this suffering can be very traumatic for those who have gone through. They will know this is real suffering, not only the word. It is so deep. It can really, really make you miserable. That's why nowadays you see a lot of people going through hell in life. Enter depression with suicidal thought and all those things. Their mind states are so badly affected. Some people even tell me the heart aches so hard, so much. There is so much suffering. Life like got no more meaning to them. How come it become this way? Life need not be this way. Life can become meaningful and beautiful, you understand. It's only those who are deluded and heedless, who don't understand the Dhamma, has to go through all this suffering. That's why there is a third noble truth which the Buddha said, suffering need not be if you can realize this enlightenment, which is Nibbana. And this Nibbana is a noble truth. You can realize this awakening or enlightenment in the here and the now, before the form and mind separate, or before you die, in the conventional sense of the word that living being understand. So because of that, the third noble truth really give you understanding and hope. You can feel very good because the Buddha says suffering need not be. So what I need to do is to cultivate this understanding. Then my mind is liberated. My life completely reversed. From a heedless, deluded way of living, it transforms and becomes a heedful way of living, born of wisdom, born of understanding, born of wholesomeness. And this is very easy to realize, to achieve, not difficult. Especially this era, this civilization, where we have all the condition, the consciousness, everything, are very, very conducive and very favorable. Coupled with your good karmic affinity and inheritance, is not a problem at all. All of you can make it. And you can determine life after life, when you come back, to have this understanding. And it's not difficult. Because this nature has gone through all this. It has developed the understanding. That's why every life it comes, it is so beautiful, so different. You can say this nature is very blessed, very lucky, but nothing to do with luck. It's the understanding that brings forth all this condition. Now that you have this understanding, you must determine from now on to cultivate sincerely, to follow the advice of the Buddha and determine to have this understanding life after life so that you can continue to be a blessing to all, not only to yourself, to fellow humanity, to all those that you have relationship with. Yeah. So this part is very important. Eh? Then I will read on. Tasma silang visude. The meaning is, therefore, let virtue or precept be purified. Because you understand the importance, because it is the source of true peace, true happiness, and true spiritual wealth. Hence, keeping precept can bring about a lot of happiness and a lot of joy to you. You must learn how to develop this happiness and joy. Sadhu is rejoicing in the wholesomeness of others, in the generosity of others. When you are able to witness them doing all this wholesomeness, you rejoice by saying, Sadhu. We can rejoice in other people's generosity, their sincerity, their faith. Then seeing how they help prepare and offer all this offering, all this can lead to a lot of wholesomeness. There is a lot of synergy too, because the cultivators who understand, they not only rejoice, but they will radiate their pure wish. And in return, all those who have partaken in this dana offering will also receive all these merits. Then just like the monks, if you support them, they will support you back in kind. In the form of Dhamma sharing via the understanding, they will rejoice. They will help you invoke the appropriate pure wish. Then they will also chant for your blessing and teach you the Dhamma. In return, you receive spiritual wealth. So that is why the Buddha said, Sila or virtue is not only the source of true happiness, it is also the source of great spiritual wealth. Thus I do not underestimate the power of virtue, the power of sila, the power of rejoicing and offering your respect, your expression of gratitude and thanks and appreciation and your sincerity, all this can bring forth a lot of right thought, wholesome thought, beautiful thought. It's much better to do all this wholesomeness than to go and worry about life, isn't it? Correct or not? Huh? Agree or not? Every day complain, lament, fearful, worry this, worry that. That is not living life, understand? That's why you can develop all this understanding. There is so much more in life, understand? Life is not just about girlfriend, boyfriend, understand? Life is not just about worrying about your health, worrying about your relationship with your loved one, worrying about your children, your grandchildren, and all those people. There are so much things in life that you can do and develop. And all this is within your reach and ability. It's so simple. You only have to have good mind, keep your precept and rejoice and understand all this. That's why you read through this book. It will give you a tremendous wealth of understanding, especially the essential Dhamma of Lord Buddha. Very few people can understand why precept alone can be so powerful. Why all this Dhamma sharing can be so powerful. The significance of rejoicing, the significance of doing the puja, the triple gem, understanding all this. Then how it can also create causes and conditions for you to strengthen your spiritual faculty, so that it can help you overcome your mental hindrance. So all this you will develop understanding. Then I will read on. Spiritual wealth is wealth that cannot be taken away, not like materialistic wealth that can disappear. Spiritual wealth is accumulated within the spiritual nature. And when you connect via your meditation, it will support you all the way. Then when you keep your precept of virtue, you will have a lot of mental peace. That's why it's a source of true peacefulness, the serene, calm and tranquil mind. The mind will have little or no restlessness or problem, because when you keep your precept, you don't harm, you don't kill, you don't cheat, you don't deceive, and you will not do all those wrong things. Hence, you will have fewer problems, less fear, less worry, and less anxiety. You don't have to confront civil society's law like police case and all those crime-related issues. And because of that, you can sleep well. You don't have to worry about people come after you to take revenge. You are more peaceful. If you violate your precept, you will have a lot of fear, a lot of worry, a lot of anxiety. Then when negative karma ripens, they will condition you into a lot of suffering and misery, causing your mind to become restless. That's why there is no peace within, and you become heedless. But once you keep your precept, your mind becomes more peaceful and calmer. That's why it's a source of true peacefulness. True peacefulness can bring about a lot of good mind state for you to develop the meditation. That's why after cultivating sila, samadhi will kick in. Then samadhi will give rise to wisdom, which is panya. That's why the teaching is sequenced in this way. You start with sila, leading to samadhi. Then when you have sila, samadhi will kick in. And when there is samadhi, you will develop wisdom. The Noble Eightfold Path is about sila, samadhi and panya. Then I explain further under section 2 what constitutes sila, samadhi and panya. Okay, excuse me, I need a drink. When you have sila and peace of mind, your mind state are more conducive for you to meditate. And because of that, you can develop samadhi. Samadhi is composed of two Noble Eightfold Path factors. Samadhi covers both samasati and samasamadhi path factor. So you train your mind to be more and more peaceful, more and more silent. The moment you are silent, you are already in sati. And when sati is established, it becomes samadhi. So sati and samadhi can allow you to see things as they are. That's why once you have sila, samadhi will follow. Then your mind can see things as they are to develop the wisdom. That's why in the meditation, I always tell you to train the mind to be aware, silent. Don't try to know. Then stabilize it so that it becomes samadhi. Very simple. Then don't verbalize, don't chatter, just silent, relax and aware. Then do what you need to do. You need to train. You need to do mind sweeping method, do. You don't need. You already trained, then you just relax, silent and aware and meditate. That's the reason why the Buddha always summarized the Noble Eightfold Path as Sila, Samadhi and Panya. Panya is wisdom leading to right view and right understanding. That's why Noble Eightfold Path, first path factor is Samadhi, which is right view or right understanding. So when you have right view, you can straighten your view. Then you will have right thought, right speech, right action, right livelihood, and all of the four right effort. And this is what Sila is all about. Sila is about developing virtue via your right speech, right action, and right thought. After that, your Samadhi path factor, which is inclusive of Sati, will take off to a new level of clear understanding, leading to a more stable right view. Then you will understand how to meditate better. Then your Sati will become more refined. It will lead to more understanding, more clarity of mind, and more silence within. That's how you progress. So do not underestimate the importance of precept or sila. Without sila, it's very difficult to go into meditation, which is samadhi. And without samadhi, wisdom can never arise. You will then come to realize that the whole teaching is indeed very simple, and the essential Dhamma are spin off from the essence of the Buddha's teaching, which is the Four Noble Truths, and they are related and connected to your daily life. I've explained before, Noble Eightfold Path Factor, all the eight path factors are related to life. Apart from Sila, Samadhi and Panya, you also need to develop the understanding of another very important essential Dhamma. The whole of the Buddha's teaching point towards only one quality of mind. What is that? Heedfulness. Heedfulness is sati plus another factor. When you already mindful, you must stabilize it to be ever mindful. Then use it to develop wisdom or cultivate Noble Eightfold Path. Combine these two, it becomes heedfulness. That's why before the Buddha's passing away, he advised the monk to strive on with heedfulness. That's why he said, Apamadena Sampadeta, strive on with heedfulness. The reason why you need to be heedful is because according to the Buddha, if you are not heedful, you are as if dead. If you are not ever mindful to cultivate the meditation as taught by him, which is the Noble Eightfold Path, then your mind will become heedless because it lacks this spiritual faculty of sati or mindfulness. Hence, you will not have the ability to understand his spiritual teaching, for it lacks the spiritual faculty of sati and samadhi. So that's the reason why sati is very important. Then you have to train it until it's ever mindful to develop the meditation as taught by the Buddha. Then it becomes heedfulness. The moment you are heedful, you are destined for enlightenment. Very easy. That's why Dhammapada verse 21 explained very clearly. Then the next section explains what is heedfulness and what is heedlessness. So heedfulness is the key to spiritual cultivation, and you have to understand what heedfulness is. To be heedful, the Buddha has defined it very clearly under Dhammapada verse 23. The constantly meditative, ever mindful and steadfast one will realize the supreme born-free Nibbana, which is the enlightenment in the here and the now. So we must train our mind not only to be mindful, but to be ever mindful. It means throughout the day, you must learn how to slow down your thinking, decondition your heedless thinking through whatever skillful means that you have developed. So this one can be mind sweeping method combined with metta. Then learn to silence more and more so that you are aware and heedful. so that you can transform the way you live your life from a heedless way to a new way of heedful living. Heedless means you are totally not aware. Then when you are not aware, you can never be mindful. If you are not mindful, how can you be ever mindful? If you do not have this ability to be ever mindful, you cannot cultivate the real Noble Eightfold Path as taught by the Buddha. It is just as simple as that. That's why the Buddha said, the heedless are as if dead. If you don't have heedfulness, spiritually you are as if dead. So no amount of thought-based meditation can free you. And this is a very important understanding. You have to train your mind to have more and more of this mindfulness or silence. Only then your mind can become very quiet, very still. You will then come to realize that you are now much more sensitive and you can be aware of many, many things. So this will bring us to the understanding of sati. Then I will explain further, section 2.4, what sati is or mindfulness. Today I will go deeper into this topic, mindfulness. The silent mind without thought can feel very clearly. When you want to feel something, take for example the floor, if you are not silent, you cannot feel because there is no sensitivity. Just now, Sister Engby was discussing this with me, how she did the lying down meditation. Then she realized that this statement of mine is very true. If you are not silent, you cannot be sensitive. You cannot be mindful to feel or be aware. That's why when she was silent, she could feel all of the vibration within her body. She could even feel how the sensation of phenomena in her leg developed and how certain part of her brain respond to it. Then she could see how they are all connected. That is the part of the brain that is responsible for the phenomena. That's why I say, you will understand yourself very clearly when you are aware. When you eat certain food, the taste bud tastes. And which part of your brain is activated, you will also understand. Especially so, you take curry or some laksa, you will know from which part of the brain, the shin lat in Cantonese meaning sour and hot, taste bud consciousness originate or comes from. And how you sweat, you will also understand. Then you will also understand very clearly how you function as a human being. The moment you are heedless, it means you think a lot. And most human beings' problems are like that, because they are so habitual in their heedless thinking. The five mental hindrances are so strong, so powerful. That's why throughout the day, these heedless thoughts, which are very active, keep on arising ceaselessly. If you do not believe me, you can check for yourself. Throughout the day, you think a lot. Your thoughts proliferate and run ahead of whatever you do when you are not with the moment. When you are not mindful, as you do things, you think. As you walk, you think. Even as you sleep, you also think. The subconscious movements are all over. But because you are heedless and you are never mindful, you cannot see all this and you cannot understand. That's why you tend to have this type of problems in life. Heedlessness leads to a lot of unnecessary problems and suffering in life because there is no clarity at all. Your mind is always restless, in constant fear, and has a lot of worries and anxiety. Then you are so attached to so many things. Everything you see, you hear, you smell, you taste and feel via your tactile consciousness, etc., appear so real. To you, they are very real. Then you grasp, you cling, you accumulate, without knowing that these are all psychological memories that can bring about attachment, leading to all the suffering and misery in the future. So as you develop this understanding, as you silence your mind more and more, until you are able to be mindful in the midst of your daily life, then your life becomes very different. You will start to have the ability to see many things. That's why now I can go deeper into this topic, which is mindfulness. If you don't believe me, you can try it out. When you are free, or even when you are here, like now. When I look outside, my awareness can be with all the phenomena outside, because my nature's silent mind is silent. The flow of nature, the movements of the trees, its leaves and branches, and even your human activities and all of the vibration within nature and everything else which is within the surrounding, my nature can become aware of them. And my mind is very sensitive because it is silent without thought within. But if I think a lot and is preoccupied with all the thinking, the emotion, the response to sense experience, like busy describing, reacting and commenting, then my nature cannot be with those phenomena. Because the nature that is aware can only do one thing at a time. Sorry, I read again. Then my nature cannot be with those phenomena, because that nature or awareness can only be with the phenomena when it is silent, as man can only do one thing at a time. Either you are silent and aware within, or you are lost in thought. The awareness can be with all your physical, mental and nature's phenomena or flow. Physical phenomena refer to the physical bodily actions and movement. Mental phenomena refers to your mental movements, which are your sankhara or mental activity. Then nature's phenomena refer to nature's flow within nature. They can be movements of the trees, the plant, the moving car, the vibration, everything else that are within nature. Then even when everything else is very quiet and very still, the essence of mind can still perceive the stillness or silence within nature. The essence of mind can also perceive the mental phenomena. Mental phenomena are mental moments, like the moment of feeling upon contact, the moment of perception, the moment of activity of mind, and the moment of consciousness. All these are possible because you are silent. Hence the awareness can be with it. You can understand what is going on because there is clarity when you are silent. Then you can see them very clearly. But if you are heedless, you can never understand. You can never know because you cannot experience them. Things that you have no experience of, you cannot develop the understanding. That's why the heedless are as if dead. That's why if you don't train your mind to be heedful, to be mindful, to be more and more mindful and silent, there is no way you can penetrate the Dhamma. So now you see the importance of sati, the silent mind, the heedful mind. You can attend retreat to silence yourself, or use an object of meditation to fix your mind, to go into concentration, to go into absorption. And because the setting under retreat condition are very conducive, you can become very calm and very peaceful. But all these are conditioned state of mind. These are not something that can actually transform you and change you. Because to transform and change, you need wisdom, not concentration. You need understanding. All these are part and parcel of the conditioned mind, the byproduct of a calm mind, which means calmness meditation or samatha bhavana. You may label it as vipassana because you slow everything down. You slow down your action, your movement, and you can hardly think because the environment you are in is very conducive. Then you use your thought to label, to note, and to be with those activities, thinking that by practicing all this, you are meditating and you are cultivating vipassana bhavana. To be honest, this is at least better than heedless thinking. But these are conditioned state because they are not natural mind state of a free mind. And that calmness that you develop is not real sati, or the meditative mind state, because it is just a conditioned state. You cannot develop real wisdom out of it, because it is not a direct seeing via the silent mind. It is still thought-based. It is still Dhamma knowledge in action. There is no real penetration of the Dhamma and understanding. Just like how I explained to Sister Ingby, I say, when you silence your mind, there is no word. And the mind that is silent will insight into phenomena or awaken into phenomena. Then when it insight into truth and the reality, it awakens. then it can relate to the Dhamma. Then you straight away will understand what the Dhamma is. You will have the true understanding. No more just words. The interpretation, not according to what the books say anymore. The example I gave her is swimming. Not until the day you try, until you experience that buoyancy. You will never understand what true buoyancy is, what swimming is. When you don't need the float to stay afloat, then you realize, hey, this is beautiful. What they said about the natural state of the body being lighter than water, its buoyancy is so true. If I don't deludedly panic, if I have faith and allow the body to initially sink first, then upon reaching equilibrium, the buoyancy force will push it up. Then the body will surface. Then to swim, I just move my hands and leg. The swimming becomes very easy, very natural. I don't have to worry about me drowning and sinking. I don't have to struggle in the water. I can swim with understanding. Then I'm at peace. Then swimming becomes very graceful. No more splashing of water, no more panic movement or struggling to float, to stay afloat. So when you experience that buoyancy and flotation, it's just like you experience the silent mind, the true mind, sati. Then you realize, hey, the true mind without delusion is already naturally peaceful, still, silent and meditative. I don't have to do anything to reach that state, just like swimming. Then what happened? Because you awaken to that state, you understand that mind is your true mind. Then that true mind can see things as they are, without words, without conditioning. But human beings' problem is you have a lot of memories. You have a lot of views, opinions, and conditioning before you can silence. At the moment of sense experience, or at the moment of seeing or hearing or thinking, you interpret, react, and stir the mind. That's why you can never see things as they are. You can never understand truth. Then you use your thought-based knowledge to link to the Dhamma, interpret. Oh, is this anicchang? Is this dukkang? Is this anatta? You cling on to all those Dhamma knowledge. That is not the real meditation. That is thought-based meditation, which is knowledge-based. And it cannot liberate your mind. So you have to trust yourself. Understand that true meditation is to train the mind to arise the first factor of enlightenment, or sati. And when sati is developed and stabilized, through our puja, through our bowing, through our daily mindfulness, through kayanupasana, the first three categories of practices, your mind will transform to become heedful. That's why after doing the mind sweeping method to decondition your heedless thinking, you then stabilize it via anchoring it to a skillful means, either anapanasati or any other skillful means or method and techniques that you are familiar with. Then you continue to develop the silence until the mindfulness becomes very stable. Then you go into daily mindfulness to cultivate mindfulness of the four postures. Then mindfulness of all the action and movement in between the four postures, leading to sati sampajana, or mindfulness with clear comprehension. If you do this, your mind will slow down. You don't slow down your action. Everything is still the same. You go into daily life. You still do everything the same way, at the same pace. But because you are already heedful, more and more mindful and silent, that's why you are fully aware of whatever that is going on. And that you can stabilize that. And when you can stabilize that, you become beautiful. While cultivating the daily mindfulness, you don't try to know. The moment you are in sati, you will know. Just like swimming. When you develop the training until you can float without the float, you will know what flotation is. It is no more a theory. When you train your mind until your mind is already in sati, you will know. It's like any games or life activity that you are skillful or familiar with, like yoga, qigong, tai chi, or even cooking, badminton and table tennis. When you are very skillful, you are no longer like before, rather clumsy. Skillful means every movement, every action, you are very graceful. And you can do it spontaneously with no thought behind. It has become a part of you. You have already trained so well, and everything you do is within the moment. That's why everything becomes so graceful. That is the trained mind. And when you are in that state, you are actually in sati. You will come to realize that when you do all this, you do not think anymore. When people ask you, how can you cook so well? How do you know how much salt is required? Where to get those ingredients, etc.? You will answer them through experience. Where you had the experience and you understand, hence you can do it. Even when playing any game, when you have developed the skill, you can actually decide how you want to play the game. Because you are so skillful, just like playing badminton. If you want to serve low, you will go low. If you want it baseline, you will go baseline. Then how you want to return your shot, you can decide. That means you had complete understanding of the game. You can decide where to place the shuttlecock because you are so skillful. And you can move very fast, spontaneously. That's why it is very effective. Then you can decide where you want to send the shuttlecock to. So your mind is the same. When you have trained it, it listens to you. You want it to be silent, it will be silent. You want it to be peaceful, it will be peaceful. You want it to arise, to be aware, it will be aware. You want it to live life, it will live life. The mind is like a tool for you to use to live life. It is not the other way around. The other way around is when you are heedless. The thought tells you a lot of things. They condition you into holding on to a lot of wrong views and opinions. Then all this habitual tendency that you have developed, where your wrong view and opinions and conditioning will drive you to live a heedless life. That is how you become a slave to your own thought, to your own conditioning, to your own views and opinion. And you don't know how to live otherwise. That's why you become very predictable. As you are heedless, you will have the habitual tendency to react and resist all over again and again. That is why no amount of meditation retreat can help or transform you if you are heedless in your daily life. When you go for meditation retreat, you can become calmer and more peaceful, and you think you have progressed. But the moment you come out, and because in the daily life you are not trained, you have not trained yourself, you are never heedful, then heedlessness takes over, and within 1 week or maximum 2 weeks, you are back to square one. Then you will come to realize that you still have this fear in you. You still have this heedlessness in you. You still have those evil roots in you. They are not rooted out as yet. And your habitual tendencies are still there, very strong. What you will normally do is, you will try to use your Dhamma knowledge to suppress and control them. We are saying, I don't want to get angry, because anger is an evil root. This is what most people will do. But the real cultivation is different. The moment you understand through the silence, you will see the delusion and foolishness of living that type of heedless life. And because the Buddha Dhamma can stand up to investigation, you will come to realize that this is real heedlessness. The two mind states are so far apart, just like what I had always explained to you. Heedful living is so different because it is so beautiful. You will have a lot of joy, a lot of happiness, a lot of peacefulness, a lot of silence, and a lot of stillness. You can be with the moment without thought most of the time. No thought means no fear, no worry, no anxiety, and no suffering, no egoic mind. Nothing, and you just live instead of worrying about life because you have the understanding. Whereas heedless person, they are very agitated throughout the day. So restless, and they think a lot. They worry a lot due to your mental hindrance. Especially their dualities of sensual desire and ill will in the form of like and dislike, pleasant and unpleasant sense experience, and their reactions of mind to all of this sensual experience. Then they worry a lot to the extent that they worry not only about themselves but also about their loved one, their wealth, their property and their possession. Everything to them is like there is no security. They are so insecure and they worry about their physical body getting old, getting sick and dying one day. They fear death. Then apart from the their health. They also worry about their career, their relationship with their loved ones and others. Then they will also worry about many other life-related issues. So they seem to be always chasing and running around, trying to escape from their own self-centered sorrow. We are firefighting and worrying about all these issues, not understanding that all these issues are the realities of life and existence as proclaimed by the Buddha and his first noble truth. They not only worried about their career, their property, their wealth, their business, their spouse and their children, but later on they may even worry about their grandchildren, then their grandchildren's health and their future. All this can lead to a lot of suffering when you don't understand. And you will cling and grasp because you think this human form and mind, which is what you think you are, is real. That is why when you conceive or perceive it as real, you will perceive your loved one as real too, and all those possessions of yours as real too. So when the mind is deluded by all this, it is never peaceful. That's why heedless living is full of suffering, full of restlessness, full of doubt and problems. So heedlessness actually brings about a lot of suffering and problem. That's why heedlessness is the path to the dead. Spiritually, you are dead. So to have the spiritual life, you must train your mind to be heedful. And that is the key to understanding life. That is, you need to train your mind to be heedful. It is clearly explained in the blue transcript book titled Understanding the Meditation as Taught by the Buddha. So you only need to start from there. That is the other book I always give to beginner. Then the rest you go and read yourself. How to train your mind to be heedful. So all those that I have taught you, I have actually summarized them for you here. That's why this book is very unique. And later on, you read on, there's a lot of important pointers and essential Dhamma that can actually awaken you very fast. Because everything has already been summarized so nicely. If you still cannot understand, then I also don't know what to do. Means it's got nothing to do with my explanation. It's you. Like I always said, first, maybe no recording, I cannot blame you, because not easy to grasp. At that time when I came out to share, I remember I tell them, they don't understand me. They thought they already understood what I share. I say, anybody who can understand 10%, he is already very good. That time, they don't understand. Then they thought, don't know what Brother Teo is trying to tell them. But they think all the Dhamma they understand. Then later on, when they record it, then somebody create the transcript. Then they read through the transcript. They realize there is so much thing inside there that they never understood. Then, not only that, after the transcript come out, print, give, free, sadhu. And yet, they don't have time to read. Then they wait for the Dhamma class. Brother Teo will share one, don't worry. See, if you become like that, then very difficult. But if you are serious, you don't need. That's why there are other kaimita who progress very fast. You know what they do? They chase after Sui An. They harass him. Say, Sui An, when is the recording coming out? That's why nowadays Sui An very efficient. For the last one over here, he tonight finish, before midnight you receive. Then now, Brother Tim and Pamasuri also try to follow up. Then Sister Lee and Hui Rong also same, very fast. They don't want Kayanamita to call them or text them. The recording how? Then I remember Hui Rong, she always felt very pinesy when the recording didn't come through. Somehow, two or three occasions, meant to be, go back, but still not recorded. Got one time, forgot to press. The other time, battery ran out. Then the other time, the recorder break down. I don't know why only Tuesday class. So all this is meant to be, don't worry. it is meant to be because so that they can become very careful later on. Then you know what Hui Rong did or not? After that, he buy another one. He make sure got two record so that the chance or probability of failure is very low. Okay, with this, maybe I will end my sharing. Huh? You got any question or not? Yes. Pass the mic to Joyce. Now my better use the mic for the recording because otherwise they can't hear you. Pass it over. Huh? Never mind. No, pass the mic. Okay.
With the permission of Paratio and...
No problem.
Sister Pamaswi, actually this one just came out just like that. I'm not sure whether Paratio has opened his email, but there was an email from Thanajana Chalo. So on behalf of Thanajana Chalo, I'd like to read out the message that he has for Paratio. IT, digital. Dear Bratio, happy birthday. Rejoicing in the generosity of your life in helping many people to deepen their understanding of the Dharma. May you experience excellent health and well-being due to the power of these merits and all other merits performed before. May your students practice well and may this be a great source of joy for you. With best wishes, Ajahn Achalo Bhikkhu.
Sadhu. See? Good monk, they understand. he is a very good monk. He has a lot of affinity with us. Okay, he also have very close affinity Kuan Yin. So, everything that happened is not by chance. How we came upon him, then how he came over, and how the Kayamita on their own meet up with him and was able to have all the condition to do all those wholesomeness that he allowed us to partake in Anandagiri. That time he just newly set up that place. When I first met him, it was with the first group of Kayamita that I brought to Thailand on a spiritual trip. His temple was not in the agenda. Somehow condition arise, and the person who organized on our behalf, Cindy and her husband, Mossit, suddenly Mossit came and talked to me. He actually asked Cindy to approach me. Cindy said, "You tell Brother Teo yourself, lah. Your Cindy don't want to change program on us." Then he come and talk to me in the bus. No, his English, you know, lah. Like that, lah. So he talk to me, Brother Teo, Thai style. He said, "This monk Achalo." At first, I heard Achalo, I thought our Jinchalo. Oh, I said, "This is very interesting." I said, "Is he Thai or what?" "Australian." Oh, I said, yeah, okay. Then he said he has been helping him to build the thing. He said, "A very good monk I introduced to him." I said, "Is it on the way?" He said, "Yes, on the way." He said, "Okay, like that we go." So we went. We supposed to pay a visit. And now before we leave, he invited us to visit the place. So we said, okay. And that was the year 2010, I think. Then after that, very strange. He showed us around. So much joy. Then on our way out, because I talked to him, I think he can sense quite a lot of things. He talked about Kuan Yin also. Finally, he went to Potosan and how he meditated. Then he said he got a special Kuan Yin in his kuti. He said, "If I alone, he will show it to me." So that time, he said, because a lot of Kalimita, he said, "Never mind." Then later on, halfway, he said, he asked all the Kalimita to stop. He pointed at me. He said, "You look at Brother Teo. I think he need a rope." He straight away tell that first time, he said, "He need a rope." Well, he has sent us. Then after that, the other Kayamita go and request for the sponsorship for the Anandagiris. It's not a katina, they call Papa, less than 5 months. I also didn't know. Until we came back, then they tell me, but do we request for this? Huh? You request for so how? I said, you request, you write to Achana. They say, I don't know how to write. Then I say, you draft, then I help you to write and improve. Then after that, I remember Shao Hun. And today he sent the message I forward just now. The 40 years Kayanimita was. Because in the university, MU, 1975, when I entered university, she was with us in the Buddhist Society, BJF. And she's from Penang, that's what I remember. So they requested. That's how we started. That everything was meant to be. Because the next year, the spiritual trip was fantastic. The one that I took them there. We even donated to the poor village, their education funnel. And for the first time, a lot of people felt the sort of wholesomeness behind all this spiritual trip. Not only the condition that you get to visit all these great monks, you also get to do a lot of wholesomeness. Then you get to contact with a lot of this good nature, good energy. These places are very special. Then when we travel, we are not alone. They are non-humans. Dharma protector out there. And they are very kind to us. It's like we are very blessed. The weather, everything, very conducive. And there is so much things happening. So much joy. Then everybody who went, you can see. At first there are some, I don't know, from other places. Then some people tell me, but you will be careful. This one, last night complained a lot on another trio. I said, never mind, just let it be. Then surprisingly, didn't complain. Echoed and flow and become so beautiful. But they came and talked to me. Then the way I reply, very simple. Then they become very different. Then even there is one, Tony, remember? Tony. Tony, what is it? Gua. You remember at first, the etiquette thing and the pricing? So there were a little bit of this email thing. Then actually, when he went there, he was observing me. Later on, he told me, then only I know. Then that trip, 2011, the day before we fly, that morning, my mother passed away. And I still went for the trip. I knew it's meant to be. Then he saw the way I conduct myself, and the way I share and I did all this trio, he became so full of faith and confidence that he came and talked to me. He said, brother, next time you organize any spiritual trip, you tell me, I will go. That's why he registered Ame San trip. I think he's the first to register and buy the ticket on his own. And he was in Europe working. Then he flew back. And he joined us for the Ame San trip. And he is a very good cameraman. Brother Tim will know him. The three of them very good cameramen. So all these are the condition behind. Then later on, he came over. Achalo came over to give retreat, have some of the sharing with our Kayamita and our local Buddhists. Then in between, Joyce has been a very strong supporter because she got a lot of affinity Achalo. She requests almost every year to go there and do katina. Whether I go or I don't go, he was still organized. So this year is the fourth year. Fourth or fifth, around there. Fifth, 2011 is the first year. 1, 2, 1, 3, 1, 4, 1, 5. This year is the fifth year. So this year is bringing a smaller group, 20. 18, Sapat Lohon, enough. No, they 20. So, they have this, what they call affinity and connection. And Achalo is very kind because he allows us to do a lot of wholesomeness. That's why his Anandagiri there. almost most of the project we are part of it. And we initially sponsor quite a bit of the significant project, the platform where all the three great beings are. That one was a very unique one. He gave us the honor to do the consecration and the donation towards it. Then that joint katina, that year was very, very beautiful. Oh, it was just last year, 2014. So much thing happened before even that rehearsal that night. Then the next morning, a lot of things happened. And that place is very conducive too. So because of that, we had this constant communication with Achan Achalo. And the affinity has developed over the years. So that's why he is very, very nice. And it's like part of Kalamita. When he go to India, he used to take them to India. But for me, no affinity. Then one day he talked to me and said, "Well, Theo, I was told you don't want to go to India." I said, "I never say I don't want to go to India. I said, there's no condition to go to India." He laughed. He said, "The condition will come." I said, "I don't know why until now, no condition. Maybe not right yet. Not time." For me, my nature, no condition, nothing happen. You can be very good friend or what, nothing will happen. But if got condition, people I don't know also, they will be able to come and see me. And I will know how to advise them. So everything is based on understanding. It's no more the thought want to do, the mind want to do. Because that one is the egoic mind, the self that Krishnamurti talk about. So if you don't have wisdom, you cannot understand condition. Your thought will manifest, your views, your opinion, you will act according to memory. And that is not acting at all. You will act according to your understanding, wisdom, and that is the true action. That's why the action born of wisdom is the true action, the pure action. No more according to memory. What is memory? Accumulation of all your past, good and bad. All your fear, accumulated fear, worry, anxiety, phobia, everything. Your lust, your selfishness, your delusion, your craving. So you act according to that, you will become miserable. All of your action is out of all those negativity, delusion. And that is not the way to live life. Okay, continue.
Before I forget, Ratio, shall we call upon Brother Michael? They want to present you something.
Can. Yeah,
the
yeah.
Four that's bears and the eight individuals.
Okay. Can.
And
yeah, that's why I asked you got anything else. Yeah. Now they remember. I remember they early on got like hinted to me that they want to do some offering, but I don't know what they are. Yeah. Come. Yeah, we can do it. We are after you all can have your lunch.
Sister Susan to present to Mrs. Steele.
Together come out, Yeah. Very good. Sadhu, yeah. There are things up there that they give to us earlier. Oh, this one, okay. Come.
Sister Susan, England. Sadhu.
No, this side.
My pass.
Before we have our food, can we have a group photograph?
Can. You better have it because the author is very nice. Okay, we may have to move this a bit.
Before we have the group photo.
Share marriage. We haven't done. Okay.
Before we share marriage, I think today is a very auspicious day for all the Kalamitas as well, and all the great beings, the Lord Buddha, Guan Yin Pusa, Pusien, and Maitreya. Very most importantly, I think I would like to ask Paramahansa to lead for asking for forgiveness from Brother Teo of any wrongdoings in body, speech, and mind on behalf on behalf of the Kalamitas. We seek your forgiveness, and may our sincere request for forgiveness be accepted. And we vow, and we will, I think the best gift for Brother Teo is our self-cultivation with wisdom and understanding till Nibbana is realized.
Sadhu. Thank you, Sadhu. Very good. So you want to read this to them? No need, huh? No, I will read the sharing of merits. Okay, you recall to mind all of the wholesomeness that we have developed over this last 2 hour plus of sharing. Then we will now transfer and share this merits to all beings, starting with the devas. Akha satta cha bhumata devanaga mahindika punyang tang anumoditva chirang rakkhantu loka sasana. May all beings inhabiting space and earth, devas and nagas of mighty power, share these merits, and may they long protect the dispensation. Itta vata ca amehi sampadan punya sampadan sabbe deva anumodantu sabbasapati siddhiya. May all beings share these merits which we have thus acquired, and may all devas rejoice, and may it contribute greatly to their well-being and happiness. Transform merits to departed ones. Idang me nyatinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo. Idang me nyatinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo. Idang me nyatinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo. Let this merits accrue to our departed relatives and all those who can receive them, and may they all too be well and happy always. We will invoke the blessing for the nation. Devo vasatu kalena sasa sampati hito ca pito bhavatu loko ca raja bhavatu dhammiko. May the rain fall in due season. May there be a rich and good harvest throughout. May the world be peaceful and prosperous always. May the government of the day, the king and the rulers, be righteous. Okay, now we all make the aspiration. Ipmina punyang kamina mame bala samagamo satang samagamo hotu yawa nivana patiya. By the grace of these merits that we have thus acquired, may we never follow the foolish and the heedless, but only the wise and the enlightened one, until Nibbana is realized. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, you can now pay respect mindfully to Lord Buddha, Kuan Yin Bodhisattva, and all the great beings, the worthy ones.
how you want to take.